Welcome to Radio KBPV, Tales of Kootenai Brown Pioneer Village, a podcast about the history of southwestern Alberta, presented by Kootenai Brown Pioneer Village of Pincher Creek, a museum complex that documents the stories of Western Canada's agricultural settlement through the preservation of local buildings and artifacts among a six-acre park. Pincher Creek is a town of 3,700 souls in a vast rural trading area of some 3,000 rural dwellers. A vibrant region of rolling prairie, foothills, the Rocky Mountains, the Piikani First Nation, Waterton Lakes National Park, the Crow's Nest Pass, and the Upper River watershed of the South Saskatchewan River Basin. Join us in this podcast where we present walking tours of our buildings and hear the stories of the farmers, townsmen, cowboys, mounties, pioneer women, politicians, chroniclers, miners, railroaders, and so many other significant histories of this particular corner of Canada. Hello and welcome back to Radio KBPV. My name is Gord Tolton, Education Coordinator with Kootenai Brown Pioneer Village. Joining me in this podcast will be Farley Wuth, Curator and Archivist. Episode 1, Rail Tales, the Crow's Nest Branch and the Train That Never Arrived. Canada owes its historical place in Confederation to the technologies offered by the railroad. Before the construction of railways, connectivity to other parts of the nation depended on waterways and overland trails. The Canadian nation, as it was created in 1867, formed off the eastern seaboard, creating an established population base of the St. Lawrence and the Great Lakes. Owing to the vastness of the prairies between the Rocky Mountains and the lakes, travel from Canada's centers was distant and slow. For the West to join and contribute to Confederation and catch up to Canada beyond fur trade passages, the key was to get on board with the most vibrant and modern technology of the times, and that was the railroad. It's quaint and romantic in the 21st century to think of the steam locomotive, but then in the 19th century, a railroad connection was as futuristic and as desirable as a Wi-Fi connection might be to a modern-day millennial or a Gen Xer. With the completion of the Transcontinental Canadian Pacific Railway in Western Canada in 1885, the railroad connected many of the few communities that had existed, like Winnipeg and Calgary, and then went on to the Pacific Coast. Along the way, the CPR's existence also created towns like Medicine Hat, Regina, Moose Jaw, Swift Current, Brooks, and Banff, and subsequent rail lines, companies, and branch lines would create the patchwork of cities and towns that exist on the Canadian prairie today. After a decade of operation, the CPR would set out to create a second transcontinental line running from Dunmore, near Medicine Hat, all the way to Vancouver, utilizing the lines of a different company and building an all-new branch through the Crow's Nest Pass.
Chronicles of the railway industry in the Pincher Creek area presents a controversial chapter from our pioneer history. This community remains as one of the few Northwest Mounted Police settlements and ranching areas which never had a direct rail connection to it. This is a definite historical quirk, especially when one considers that the Pincher Creek area was established in 1878 as a horse ranch for the Mounties. That's a full 7 years prior to the completion of the Canadian Pacific Railway main transcontinental line in 1885. Closer to home, the town was founded 20 years before the CPR second line, predating the arrival of the railway by a full generation. The Crow's Nest line of the CPR was built through the southwestern corner of the Canadian prairies during 1897 and 1898.
So, what happened to Pincher Creek, which predated all of the railways in Canada by a number of years? To date, Pincher Creek, the town, has never heard a train whistle or the shunting of cars in its streets from the CPR or any other rail company. Well, that tale would be a little more complicated. The story would begin to the east of Pincher Creek with another railway company that we haven't mentioned, and one whose initial short line was completed about the time of the CPR's last spike. In September of 1885, a 110-mile narrow-gauge railway line was completed at Lethbridge, having branched off the CPR at Dunmore, near Medicine Hat. The Northwestern Coal and Navigation Railway had one purpose, to ferry mine coal from the mines of the Old Man River to feed the CPR's locomotives. The mines and the railway were the initiative of the father and son venture capitalists, Sir Alexander Galt and his son Elliot Galt. Since the company would go through many corporate names over its short life, let's just simplify and call it the Galt Railway Ventures. Galt's original intent had been to extend their line to Fort McLeod from its dead stop at the eastern edge of the Coulee at Lethbridge, to gain revenue from cattle shipping and onward to the mineral-rich Crow's Nest Pass and the Kootenai Lake Country of British Columbia. The Galt Railway Venture tied up a government charter on the route, preventing the CPR or any other company from building a route west of Lethbridge toward the Crow's Nest Pass. Surveys were made on the Old Man River crossing, but by 1888 the Galt still hadn't built a foot of track headed west, as they concentrated mostly on the coal and land concerns at Lethbridge and on connections to Montana. In 1892, the Calgary and Edmonton Railway Company extended its tracks to McLeod, though abruptly stopped some 3 miles to the west of town, unwilling to build a bridge across the Old Man River. McLeod's boosters had to be content with freight and passenger service by wagon from the station in Macasto, and that connection obviously did little for Pincher Creek. As the Great Northern Railway in the northern United States ran deliberately close to the 49th parallel, pressure mounted for the CPR to do more. In 1890, the CPR surveyed the Crow's Nest Pass, but the Galts continued to sit on their charter, preventing any further work westward. By 1893, the Galt Company was still small and were being pressured by the CPR, who were developing their own coal mines in the upper Bow River Valley. Facing shrinkage dividends and labor strife at its Lethbridge mines, circumstances revealed that Elliot Galt was not going to have the means to build that Crow's Nest line. What's more, the narrow gauge line from Lethbridge to Dunmore was going to have to be upgraded to standard gauge in order to meet its own contracts with the larger railway. What resulted was a lease of that line to the CPR itself in order to finance its own upgrade. From that also became a virtual surrender of Galt's coveted Crow's Nest Pass charter. By 1896, the CPR was ready to push into the Crow's Nest Pass and hammered out a concord with the federal government, granting title and mineral rights to 50,000 acres of coal-bearing lands. At the insistence of the farm lobby, the government demanded a concession. By the terms of the eventual Crow's Nest Pass agreement, the railroad was mandated to provide delivery of prairie grain to market at the frozen rate of 14 cents per bushel or a half cent per ton per mile. That crow rate made history and reduced expenses for the farmer and created a boom time atmosphere in Western Canada. But even with its deep pockets, the CPR were not willing to build the high-level bridge at Lethbridge, and wouldn't do so until 1909. In the meanwhile, the new Crow's Nest branch would actually cross the St. Mary's River south of Lethbridge, and thence across the Blood Reserve towards Fort McLeod. But the CPR would not bring their new line directly into town, instead bypassing to develop its own community at the new station of Haneyville, just a mile or so southwest of McLeod. That left two rival rail lines, the CPR and the Calgary and Edmonton Railway Company, just over a mile from each other, and businessmen feared that the CPR and the CNE might build a bridge, connect their individual stations, and leave the town of McLeod permanently isolated rail-wise. In fact, the bridge was constructed across the Old Man River, and that connection made in the summer of 1897. Well, the town of McLeod took the CPR to court, claiming that the existence of Haneyville contravened the Crow's Nest Pass Railway Act. Town boosters sued, begged, pleaded, even offered to pay the CPR to build a spur into town. There was talk of a streetcar line to transfer passengers. Despite all petitions and protests, the CPR did not budge. Finally, the CPR was ready to move forward and build towards the mountains. And from Haneyville, that line would run toward Pincher Creek. But then, recent history would repeat itself. The new Crow's Nest Pass was not to touch the corporate limits of the town of Pincher Creek proper. Instead, CPR developed its own town at a new site over 2 miles away. Adding insult to injury, the new station was named Pincher City. That punctuated the beginning of a long and very frustrating relationship of Pincher Creek with railroad projects. By the end of 1897, the line was just 12 miles short of the summit of the mountains in the Crow's Nest Pass. Pincher Creek was connected with Eastern Canada at last, but had a two-mile walk to take advantage of this connection.
The railway giant chose to bypass Pincher Creek, as it wished to control local real estate development to help pay for the construction and operation costs of the railway line. Although the line helped to market agricultural products and brought in new settlers, the fact that it physically ignored the central settlement in the area became a sore point with many local pioneers. True enough, the construction of the Crow's Nest branch of the CPR did traverse the district, and the line's use did forever change the local countryside. The line's arrival brought with it a new wave of immigration and settlers into the area. Neither the CPR nor any other local railway company came directly into Pincher Creek itself. The town has remained without a rail connection throughout its entire history, and this issue remained a sore spot with local residents for over a century. That first generation of post-railway pioneers fought hard, a bit unsuccessfully, to have those transportation connections secured. What follows is some of the documentation of that conflict. The CPR's choice of Pincher City. In the CPR's mindset of the late 1890s, there were rational reasons for building the local line and accompanying stations elsewhere than through Pincher Creek itself. The company appeared satisfied with the economic possibilities of the line running from Lethbridge, Alberta, to Nelson, B.C. Ranching and mining markets would open up for both on both sides of the Continental Divide, resulting in the railway's revenue and the marketing and transportation business to succeed. Yet there were costs to control and business advantages to ensure. Geographically, the surveyors had determined that the most direct route for the rail line would be at a point 2 miles north of the settlement of Pincher Creek. This choice also offered a fairly level approach to the otherwise transitioning upwards to an increasingly high terrain. The alternative route directly through Pincher Creek also meant an elevation loss of 100 feet. This would have presented a challenge for the engineers given the elevation gains that the railway company had to make as it traversed west towards the mountain pass. But there were other considerations for avoiding the village. The Canadian Pacific Railway Company was in the business of real estate as well as transportation, and in terms of its speculation. Pincher Creek already had a history dating back some 20 years to 1878. Town founders and early settlers already had taken up most of the lots and their surrounding properties, and these citizens were competitors to the railway giant for land speculation. With less real estate to acquire and develop in established communities, the CPR wanted to control the location of its stations and the corresponding real estate boom, ensuring a higher profit for the company as real estate management was important. Such development could only take place in those areas that had yet to see an establishment of a settlement. Therefore, Pincher City Station and its development could occur on its own land. Pincher Creek believed that it was being railroaded by the CPR route. The CPR's decision never sat well with the people of Pincher Creek. Feeling ignored, a decades-long campaign for a rail connection of some sort was launched by the pioneers here. Either the main line was to be rerouted, or a spur line into the village ought to be constructed. Initial lobbying took place during the construction period itself. Once informed of the surveyor's choice to bypass the settlement, the pioneers of Pincher Creek immediately tried to convince the CPR to change its route. A flurry of letters bombarded CPR headquarters during the spring and summer of 1897, and they requested a meeting with the company's vice president, T.J. Shaughnessy, who addressed angry McLeod residents on the same tour over the same arguments over railway services and routes. This contentious issue festered on for nearly another 10 years. During the spring of 1909, the lack of railway service in Pincher Creek was raised by our own Pincher Creek Echo. It was alleged that the CPR believed that it was supplying adequate service to the town by maintaining an express and telegraphic office here in town. Yet the Echo believed that the freight office was a requirement for both incoming and outgoing expenditures and merchandise. The ardent press supporter of this southwestern settlement concluded that it was up to the railway boomerang system that something be done decent for the Pincher Creek pioneers before it was compelled to do so by the construction of other lines, some of which were already surveyed right in the town. In spite of the good intentions of our local newspapers, these efforts apparently once again fell upon deaf corporate ears. In 1910, a proposal came from the Canadian Pacific Railway that the company officials seriously consider rerouting the Crow's Nest line from Pincher Creek to a point 5 miles further north. The rationale for such a path was never publicly discussed in any detail, but may have been chosen as a more direct route between Brockett and Cowley, two sidings along the CPR line. Municipal officials were not informed of these proposed changes, but acted quickly in the community's defense once word had been publicly received. Pincher Creek Mayor James Scott secured blueprints of the proposed changes and called a public meeting on April 16th, 1910. The gathering enthusiastically passed a resolution calling upon the Member of Parliament, John Heron, to secure adequate railway service from the CPR on the present line when the new route was to be established. This time, local protests had an impact, as a significant improvements were made to the existing line and bridges in the area. Through this, CPR, their officials denied any changes to the route had been planned, at least along the existing line, and they declared that it would be kept closer to Pincher Creek. Some 10 weeks later, public speculation that the CPR was actively considering a spur line into Pincher Creek was again raised within local circles. Observers had seen this company accumulate several loads of lumber at Pincher City. Further speculation was called for the construction of an addition to the depot there, and that a second, though unspecified structure, would be built adjacent to it. Locals thought that the preparations were being made for a Y railway intersection at a point just west of Pincher City, and since the CPR was in charge of the work, it must be meant that a spur line was to be built in the town. Informed public opinion then called for a railway station at Pincher Creek to be built, most likely on the Northwest Mounted Police Reserve at the east end of town. It was said that this would be an ideal site, and the station would be situated at less than a 10-minute walk from the west end of town. The CPR indicated that the town council endorsed the route, and it would have the right-of-way through certain property now known as the Poultry Ranch. Which property was to be used was uncertain, but the three survey parties were already at work when the public news of this new development broke, and it was thought that only another week's work of survey work would be needed before the grading would begin. Yet within a month's time, there was more bad news. According to the Sifton government up in Edmonton, these plans for the appear to have been put on hold due to the protests of the Alberta Railway and Irrigation Company, which was planning a local railway system of its own. Locals were once again disappointed that a railway connection appeared to be as elusive as ever.
After construction of the high-level bridge in Lethbridge and alignment of the CPR line north of the Blood Reserve, McLeod would finally get its railroad connection and renewed status as a divisional railway point, connected with the Edmonton and Calgary Railway, and soon on a national route to the Pacific. A new roundhouse was built and siding trackage west of town was doubled. By 1911, boosters were talking about McLeod as a railway hub, with a campaign to attract more rail routes to the town, with no less than 10 rail lines. Canadian Northern Railway, the Grand Trunk Pacific, Great Northern, and the Alberta Railway and Irrigation, as the Galt Railway Venture was now known, all lobbied to connect to McLeod. These were optimistic times. Land values rose, and speculators rushed to buy up worthless lots for cities that were bound to grow on the prairie, as grain, cattle, and immigration were said to increase land values astronomically. For Pincher Creek, the Galt Railway Venture was working to connect the community with Cardston and Pincher Creek, planning to extend its St. Mary's River branch beyond Cardston, onward towards Mountain View, and jutting north across the Waterton River and tying into the CPR Crow's Nest Pass just 2 miles east of Pincher Creek. Again, shut out. Well, the Pincher Creek residents were apoplectic. Again, that little creek side town was being ignored by a rail company. The CPR already had failed to connect, bypassing the town and forcing residents, farmers, stockmen, and passengers to do their transport and business and shipping at the siding of Pincher City. Since 1896, the CPR had ignored all calls to build a spur into the main town. Promises from the Canadian Northern Railway and the Great Northern Railway to connect from the north and south, respectively, had proven fruitless. Other startup companies didn't get off the paper. Only the Kootenay and Alberta Railway, built to exploit the coal of the Beaver Mines District, actually went into operation, but also didn't approach the town proper. In being snubbed again, Pincher Creek residents saw conspiracy in the ARNI's close relationship to the CPR. Town administration didn't take the matter lying down. The ARNI had filed a survey plan, and councillors argued that the bypass violated the company's own charter. To counter, the Pincher Creek Town Council passed a resolution condemning the ARNI transgression and called on Federal Minister of Railways Francis Cochrane to intervene. To illustrate their seriousness, the town solicitor was dispatched to Ottawa to lobby and urged that both the outgoing and newly elected members of Parliament, Conservative John Herron and Liberal David Warnock, to petition their respective leaders. Despite a recent bitter campaign amid the landmark 1911 reciprocity election, Herron and Warnock put aside their partisan differences for the good of the riding. In early December, the minister ruled that the ARNI were indeed in conflict, and the company was ordered to resurvey their line and bring the Galt trains into downtown Pincher Creek. But that was December 1911. Though Pincher Creekers regaled and waited to finally see a steel tracks come through their town, Elliot Galt and the CPR were involved in a crucial negotiation. With the new year, the CPR functionally acquired all ARNI and Galt assets, terminating both the Galt Enterprises and the possibility of a Cardston-Pincher Creek rail connection. In March of 1912, it was announced that the Rockefeller family-owned Standard Oil had assumed the rights and charter of the Alberta Pacific Railway scheme that projected tying the busy copper mines of Butte, Montana, with Calgary and onward to the Peace River. As with the Dominion Western, the route was once again to connect Cardston with Pincher Creek, with a branch tapping into the Kootenay Mining District of British Columbia. But the name dropping and the paper ambitions didn't equal progress. Not a single tie was ever laid to ground.
The perceived impact of railway competition. In March 1911, the Pincher Creek and District Chamber of Commerce took up the local cause and established a committee to lobby for a rail connection. Members included Member of Parliament Dr. David Warnock, Mayor William Doby, businessman Walter Jackson, and local farmer A.N. Mowat. And they were responding to a CPR communications stating that the company would not build a spur line into Pincher Creek until they saw competitive interest from another railway company. Taking a bite at the issue, the committee approached the Kootenay Alberta Rail Company for interest in providing a rail connection. However, the new company could not afford the construction costs of an additional spur line. 6 months later, when the Canadian Northern renewed its interest in Pincher Creek, it was said that the CPR officials in Winnipeg were closely watching the progress of the CNR in the Pincher Creek district. That stemmed from a rumor that the CPR spur line would connect with the Crow's Nest branch west of Brockett and establish a station near the flour mill on the north hill, then exit by the west to the South Fork Trestle. By Christmas 1911, the situation was again stalled. Town solicitor Arthur C. Chemist reported that the town council, through a series of meetings held with government and railway officials in Ottawa. The Minister of Railway expressed concerns about the age of the CPR's survey maps, and therefore the company was withdrawing its plans for the line through Pincher Creek. Other rumors in 1914, spurred by so-called interest by the Western Dominion Railway Company, came to nothing. Local appeals to the Railway Commission. The next local appeal for a spur line came a full year into the First World War. Mayor R.O. Allison and town engineer J. Woods talked with company officials in Ottawa, but no construction was ever materialized. Finally, in the summer of 1916, town council presented a brief to the Railway Commission of Canada, citing what it thought was to be legally binding orders requiring the CPR to construct and maintain a spur line between Pincher City and Pincher Creek. The request was one of the best organized lobbying efforts ever mounted in this area for a spur line. Backed by Town Council, the Local Improvement District, affidavits from area residents, farmers, and ranchers, as well as livestock and grain shippers, this presentation noted that 85% of the rail traffic handled at Pincher City came from either town or agricultural resources, and that the extra hardships of having to haul freight and passengers an extra distance from town and the economic disadvantage of the remote access of the railhead. They lobbied hard for the rail to come into Pincher Creek. Pincher Creek promoter John Hillier argued strongly that better transportation facilities would bring an additional large area under cultivation, would redevelop industries, and increase general business, resulting in an increase in traffic. His colleague, Mayor Allison, took the cause further by pointing out that the industry started in town have been crippled by the want of effective transportation, and that further development of industries were at a standstill pending the settlement of the railway issue. The mayor was able to provide several illustrations of this unfavorable economic situation. He noted that most of the large brick-making plant in Pincher Creek had to be torn down several years earlier due to the lack of easily accessible markets further afield. On the North Hill sat idle for some time a flour mill within an adjoining elevator. It had a capacity of 100 barrels and yet was not in production anymore due to a lack of shipping facilities. A Pincher Creek-based creamery was operating with only partial capacity in 1916 due to there being no rail connections in Pincher Creek. A spur line would have allowed this business to accept on an economically profitable basis products from such southwesterly Alberta points as Cowley, Lunbrook, and Burmese. Only with the completion of a spur line, Allison concluded, would local economic situations improve. Compelling arguments these were indeed. The Railway Commission carefully deliberated over a 24-hour period, yet it could not rule in favor of Pincher Creek's application. It was found that in terms of the Railway Act, it could not order the CPR to construct a spur line. Only a commercial or an industrial business could apply and that a spur line be constructed, provided that they had publicly disclosed financial resources to undertake such a project. The business would not be responsible for the operation and the maintenance of the line. The ruling noted that third parties, such as communities with grievances against the railway corporations, could not apply to compel these companies to build such spur lines. Most of these early lobbying efforts with the Canadian Pacific during the first generation of our railway history appear to have fallen upon deaf ears. Either the rail giant fought the rail route of 1897-98, or it was believed it was the most economical one to follow. Noted that it shared with the same transportation concerns that the town believed in. As a result, Pincher Creek has historically remained one of the few major communities in southern Alberta not to have a direct physical link with the outside railway industry. The train that never arrived, the Crow's Nest Branch. For 20 years following the CPR's construction after 1897, early civic leaders lobbied, in vain, to have the company's line rerouted through town or to have a spur line built the 2 miles down from Pincher City. This was the nearest railway station. Undaunted, local pioneers sought rail connections from computer railway companies that expressed an interest in accessing the district. In the boom time era before the First World War, half a dozen conglomerates made tentative plans for local railway development to serve the town proper. Some of these efforts did result in surveys and railway bed construction, but never actually saw a train in the area. Finally, the artificial land bubble burst, picked up by the realities of prairie farming, a glut of grain production, and arid subsequent changes to transportation needs. Finally, the advance of the First World War, whose demands made railway iron scarce and expensive, placed rail lines in conflict and with the larger companies. Only one of the fledgling companies was successful in building and operating a line in the area, if briefly. This was the Kootenay and Alberta Rail Line, the K&A, that developed a 19-kilometer route as it traveled southwest from Kenderi Junction, west of Pincher City, to the coalfields at Beaver Mines at the base of the Rocky Mountains. But the chronicles of this short-lived K&A Railway is a story for another podcast. As for the tangible history of Pincher Creek's controversial but important railway history, you can visit the caboose display as part of your visit here at the Kootenai Brown Pioneer Village in Pincher Creek.
Thank you for listening to Tales of Kootenai Brown Pioneer Village. This episode was researched and written by historians Farley Wuth and Gord Tolton. This podcast is recorded and engineered by Gord Tolton. Episodes can be found at Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podbean, or any other podcatcher. Visit our website at www.kootenaibrown.ca. Kootenai is spelled K-O-O-T-E-N-A-I. Also, visit and join our pages on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for more information on our museum, or even better, visit us at 1037 Beverly McLaughlin Drive in beautiful Pincher Creek, Alberta.